Hello, everybody, and welcome to another I Could Talk Kayfabe, because I could talk kayfabe. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
And today we got an interesting magazine, but before we get into that, Sean discovered, and I followed his lead, California Championship Wrestling from the 80s.
Yeah.
On YouTube.
She's, yeah, keeping in terms of kayfabe, you know, I don't know how I discover this. Probably because it's one of those things that was recommended. Because
yeah.
I often will watch a lot of, like, if I can, I'll just find, like, full episodes of, like, Portland Wrestling on YouTube or, you know, Continental Wrestling. And there's this guy, this new channel I found.
I've subscribed, by the way.
Yeah.
And he just uploaded a new episode of Continental Wrestling.
Oh, there's so much stuff up there that I'm like, that, and most of it's like Southern wrestling that I've like solved, like, you know, Continental stuff from the late 80s, early 90s that is just awesome. And I mean, just, you know, stuff that, you know, like, you know, you can watch now and you're just, you know, it's stuff that should be on the network is what it should, but. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, look, I can't complain. There's, you know, Mid-South Wrestling, and I'm watching that.
Yeah, love it. But California Championship Wrestling is kind of really piqued my eye. It was like, if Southpaw Regional Wrestling was based on something, California Championship Wrestling, I feel, especially that studio episode, is what it was based off of.
100%. And I mean, if Southpaw Regional Wrestling was based on, like, the California scene, because I feel like, you know, Southpaw is obviously much more based on Southern promotions, but the California stuff that this is the thing from reading a lot of these magazines and reading stuff from like the 80s and the early 90s and reading about the independent scenes. Like, sometimes they'll be like, hey, look at this wrestler in California. He's tearing it up. And I'm like, I've never heard of this guy, you know? And so you see them on, you know, these are the shows that they would do.
Yeah.
Like, these are the things. And like, and I was reading up on this too, because I got that kind of did a bit of research on so it's California Championship Wrestling. I think it was called like All Championship or All California. It had something, it had a different name to it as well. But on TV it was known as California Championship Wrestling. First of all, the tapes I was watching were not from California. They're from they aired in New York, apparently.
Oh, okay.
They aired in some station in New York, because if you notice, all the commercials are from like Queens.
You know what? I just skipped through the commercials. I haven't really.
Oh, I watch them all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm just watching all.
Yeah,
of it.
No. As soon as the commercial came up, I just moved the cursor along, so I didn't notice that. But what I did notice was like. They were like, oh, this took place at the Cow Palace in San Francisco.
No, it didn't.
And this took place in Los Angeles. But then, like, their big cards were coming up in, like, smaller cities like Riverside and San Bernardino.
Oh, yeah. No, the one that they had was all San Bernardino stuff, you know?
And what was great, too, was, like, they were hyping it up. They were like, they're like, the big card, it's Sunday. It's the day before Martin Luther King Day. You have off work the next day.
That's right. They made this huge deal. I was like, why do you keep pointing this out? Like, so what? It's Martin Luther King Day. Yeah, you have off. I mean, you know, are you trying to say that the kids should come and they're going to stay to 8 to 10 at night?
Yeah, I think that's what they're trying to say.
You guys have a late show. You guys could do juggalo things and start doing shows at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
But it's Martin Luther King Day, so you just go right to bed.
It's Martin Luther King Day's the next day. You don't have to go to work. Although, I've never worked at a place where I had off Martin Luther King Day, but I guess that's just me. But, yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so here's a few things.
Yeah.
So a lot of these guys, when you would do research on them, they were pretty much just jobbers in WWF, jobbers in WWF. Anytime the WWF would come to California, so WWF and AWA. So there's a few guys on there that you would recognize from the Showboat tapings in Las Vegas for AWA were used as jobbers. You know, like the one guy Budokan.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that guy?
Yeah,
who was just like Richard Roundtree, the wrestler.
Yeah,
you know, he literally wrestles and just like he just comes in the ring in like a trucker hat and he's wearing like a sleeveless shirt and like what could, you know, and barely tights.
And he must have just recently turned face because he was, they were talking about how he changed his ways.
Well, right, but it's one of those things where it's like all of a sudden they just probably were like, we need more faces than we have heels.
Yeah.
So you're going to be a face now. So just go on TV and be like, well, I'm sorry for hurting that guy's shoulder.
But yeah, he's like, I'm sorry about that.
And be like, when he comes back, maybe I'll train with him. And I'm like, all right, great. You're a face now. And then, and it was really it was pretty bad. And I remember that guy. He was like he was an AWA jobber. And then they would have guys that were like wrestlers from the in LA and like the Southern California scene back in the 70s. Back when, like, you know, the Olympic Arena or whatever, like, they were doing stuff there. And they would have guys like the one guy I recognize was Great Goliath or Goliath.
Yeah.
Who, I think I referenced him on a previous episode where he was one of these, it was him and Black Gordman, who were a tag team in the 70s in California that were ranked in the top 25 tag teams of all time in the Wrestler magazine, I think from like 91 or something.
Wow.
And I've never heard of these people. And I would never know any of who these people were because I didn't know didn't grow up in California and I never read magazines from that era. But here's this one guy still wrestling. And he just died, actually. The Goliath, Great Goliath. He was just some guy who, just some bald Mexican dude, you know.
There was the guy from Venice Beach, Steve Strong, where they build him is from Venice Beach, and he taught Hulk Hogan how to flex.
Oh, they're dropping Hulk Hogan's name left and right on this show.
But the thing about Steve Strong, so I don't know if it's the same one, but I was looking at in the Jim Crockett Promotions group on Facebook that I'm in. There was a poster for like a show in the 70s, and Steve Strong was like his name was on the poster on the undercard.
So. And you know, here's the thing. Okay, so if you do, again, I did my research, Wikipedia, and he has been around in like the coastal scene. So he wrestled in like Hawaii and like forever. And he used to team with Jesse Ventura and stuff back when Jesse Ventura was first getting started out, and he would wrestle, you know, over. And
yeah, because I was going to say, he looked like he was like a California 50 in the 80s.
You could tell he had some years on him, even though he was in good shape.
Yeah, he was in great shape, but he had like the face of a 50-year-old man. And he did look like he's been around.
Fun fact about him, apparently he is an artist, and that's what he does now. Is he just draws like seaside murals?
Oh, God, he's got to be in his 80s by now. Then
I don't know if he's that old.
Well, maybe not, but
he apparently, since he's good friends with Jesse, he drew some mural for Jesse at the governor's house in Minnesota.
Oh,
so
wow!
And here's the thing about the guys like him and a few other guys we're gonna mention. They would just find like work in like TV and stuff because they would be like, hey, we need a pro wrestler to be on TV. You know, we need a pro wrestler.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they just hire guys like this.
Yeah.
And so he, this was C. Strong. My thing that I liked about him, he was known as the California Terminator. Did you see how that was?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So,
and his merch was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I want that merch. I want some of those shirts. I want the Army Fatigue shirt with a gun on it, with the white gun. And it says California Terminator.
It was now it's going to bother me, the name of that other guy, the Wild Man, was it?
Wild Man Jack Armstrong.
There was Jack Armstrong, then there was another guy.
Well, Wild Man Jack Armstrong for a minute here, because Wild Man Jack Armstrong is also one of those guys who has appeared on many TV shows where they had wrestling episodes. Okay. Yeah. So he appeared in the wrestling episode of Night Court.
Oh.
He appeared in the wrestling episode of Matlock.
Hmm.
Where they just be like, "Hey, this guy's a pro wrestler," and you know, and this guy looks like it, and he was also in a movie, and maybe you don't remember this. I remember seeing the box for it, and I never watched it, and I'm apparently it's very bad, but it's a movie called Grunt, the wrestling movie.
No, I've never seen that one.
Okay, apparently it's just a ridiculous movie made in the 80s at the height of near apex of pro wrestling, and he was the star of it. But it was like a, just ridiculous. Like I remember the cover, I think was him in the ring fighting in a ring, you know, with a guy down on the mat, and he's staring at ringside. He's looking out at ringside because there's a woman with her back to us, and she's ripping off her top, and he's like, "Whoa!" And that's the cover of the thing. And apparently, some guy's head gets kicked off in the movie in a wrestling ring. WrestleCrap did a thing on it like a long time ago.
Yeah,
yeah. So there's him, and so he was in the part of the studio episode. You want to talk about that one?
That was an amazing episode. So I wish you probably took better notes than I did, because I didn't write down any of their names. But there was he was the announcer for all the episodes.
I forgot what his name was.
Yeah, but he was like just the I don't know if he was the straight man, but he was like egging on the heels, like in the studio.
Yeah.
And that was kind of weird, because normally the straight guy is just like, oh, okay, we'll be right back.
Well, he's kind of like, kind of what's his face would do that. Norman Gordon Solie would kind of do that. And like, even when he especially was a Buddy Colt would talk all sorts of shit.
So he was like egging on, who's that, Tux somebody?
So Tux Newman was the manager. Newman,
yeah, and Tux Newman had a cane, and he kept poking.
And he wore a bow tie. Yeah. That was his thing. He was a guy who they were like, it's kind of like, okay, I just got to say this real quick. Tux Newman is like if you were like, hey, I'm a wrestling manager, and I'm going to play this role as a wrestling manager. Like, remember Ready to Rumble?
Yeah.
When Scott Cann comes out, and he's like, I'm Pimp Daddy, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's... And then that's basically what Tux Newman is like. He's the guy. He's just a caricature of what a wrestling, which you think is a wrestling manager from the '80s.
Yeah, continue. Yeah. No, it was great. And then who was the guy he was managing? That's the one I was.
It was Jack Armstrong.
That was Jack Armstrong.
Yeah, and okay. He was supposed to take on Chief J. Strongbow Jr.
Yeah, which was just some guy with a Jersey accent. and that guy I did Google, and it wasn't Jay Strongbow's son.
It's not, just, but he was a guy who was – he actually had quite a few – he had a cup of coffee with both WWF and WCW in the 90s, early late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, and he wasn't the son, and he had the Jersey accent. But he looked – he had the look down, that's for sure. Yeah. He definitely had the look down.
He was in good shape too.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Well, I liked it because, like, at the end, they egged him on, and then there's, like, a fight in the studio, and the announcer's like, I'm going to tell the commission to find you, and I'm like, I'm going to be in phone calls with them, like, sure. Like
the California Athletic Commission. He's like,
we're going to find Tux Newman. And Tux Newman's got, like, his cane, he's, like, pointing at him. Chief J. Shangbo was like he got really pissed because there's a lot of also he's Indian
yeah
so there's a lot of you know racist Native American like I think at one point he's like hey let me call him. I'm like,
yeah. Oh. Yeah he did the war call
I was like
yeah.
Oh okay
yeah
right, we're doing that great. But go ahead I'm sorry
no I was just gonna comment yeah he did the war call and then like yeah, they fought in the studio, and I love a good studio brawl, so that was great. And it was just awesome.
Not enough poorly recorded studio brawls exist. Yeah.
And then there was another episode where they had, I forgot who, but he had like a binder full of like actual wrestlers. And like, oh, Bruiser Brody and Bill Dundee, they're coming to California Championship Wrestling.
Was it the same guy?
No, I don't think it was the same guy, was it? I don't
know. Oh, wait, there was like a coach guy.
Yeah, there was a coach. Yeah.
That's right, yeah, because they would just be like, hey, a bunch of these guys are coming, get ready. And like... And they would show like clips from like other indies.
Yeah.
So they showed and they showed. Did you? I don't know if you saw this. They were like, American Force is coming, right? And American Force was Shawn Michaels' very first tag team in Texas before he went to the AWA.
Oh, I didn't.
It was him and Paul Diamond.
Oh, okay.
And they fought a guy named like Hog something.
Wow, I must have missed this episode because this sounds amazing.
Yeah, you have to go back and catch it. They show like a clip of it, and they're like, they're coming here, and I don't know if they ever made it. I'm assuming they didn't because Shawn Michaels went on to do the Rockers probably somewhere or both Paul Diamond found something else to do. But
I actually just watched the UWF with Shawn Michaels and the UWF. He was a jobber and he was very young. I forgot who he wrestled.
Was it DiBiase?
Yeah, it was DiBiase.
Yeah, he talks about that match a lot, actually, because he says how DiBiase was very generous in the ring with him in terms of, like, giving him offense and kind of helped put him over a bit and made him stand out.
Yeah, it wasn't a squash match. Sean got a lot of offense in, so, yeah.
I think he also...
Pipe cleaner skinny too in this match.
Yeah,
like, you know how when he was in the Rockers he had like some baby fat on him, he had a little build to him, but it was like fat. He didn't have any of that in this match. He was just pipe cleaner skinny, and
he was very, very generic.
But also we
gotta talk about, let's see, there was a few other things. Jimmy Snuka made an appearance
with Rocky Johnson. Yeah,
Rocky Johnson, Junior Maivia, who may or may not have been Peter Maivia's son. I think
it just looks like some Mexican guy.
he looked like Eddie Guerrero with his first hair.
Speaking of Mexican guys, like, their champion like was a Mexican guy.
Okay, it was Victor Rivera.
Oh, he was Puerto Rican. Yeah, and I remember Jack Armstrong said. Called him a disgusting Puerto Rican or something, or dirty Puerto Rican.
Victor Rivera. There's this one interview they do with him in the studio, Victor Rivera. It's like a Tim and Eric sketch because they're talking to him and he's like, they're like, so you're here and you're going to whatever. And he's like, yes, I am here and I am to, I'm going to wrestle everybody.
Yeah.
and then literally he just looks off for like a good couple seconds. And then he's come back to the other guy at the desk. And I'm like, what is going on? And this guy was the champ.
Yeah. But
I got two more things I got to talk about. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. No, but you go ahead.
I was just going to interject. Like, yeah, he did cut that promo. And then the announcer's like, so you want to say anything to your Spanish speaking friends? And then he got all charismatic and started speaking Spanish like perfectly, and then I was like, okay, that's it.
And that's the only time. Actually, here's the thing, I remember Victor Rivera because I would see his name a lot in like old issues of The Wrestler, or just old, you know, things about like, oh, he used to wrestle in WWF, and he used to, I think he's, you know, he did a lot of back when it was WWWF, and he was a big star there, and this is him just being like, all right, I guess I'll do this, you know. I mean, just, you like, I think him and I have the same physique. I say shouldn't but I was like, oh man, I think I got that gut.
Yeah.
A few things. John, the coach, John Tolos.
Yeah, John Tolos was there.
Did you see the match where it was him? Okay, so it was Chief J. Strombo, Junior, and I think Victor Rivera. Yeah, and it was, they were supposed to go against Steve Strong and Professor Toru Tanaka.
Yes, I did see that.
Okay, and then the match starts, though, with John Tolos coming to the ring wearing a sweater that says Golden Greek on it. And he did it, and he starts punching everybody. The match just immediately just goes. I think they actually still have a match.
Yeah,
but the match just goes to fucking hell because they're beating, literally just beating. Victor Rivera blades within a second.
There was a lot of blading in California Championship Wrestling. A lot of blading, and not like hardcore wrestling. It was just regular wrestling with blading. So,
like, if you fell out of the ring, if you did anything,
yeah,
you bled. I mean, it was ridiculous. Like, they are just bleeding all over the place. And John Tolos is beating he's beating the piss out of these dudes.
Yeah,
like, and I'm like, you're not the wrestler. You're not. And he's like, and then they rip his like half of the back of his shirt off.
Yeah,
or half of his shirt. And then I think the next episode he's like, well, I'm retired. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You just literally ran in the ring and beat the piss out of these guys. Also doing commentary was Professor Toru Tanaka, which apparently I have not seen yet. And also, there's also a moment, I'm going to get to the main event of this and let you talk about it. But there's also a moment where I guess they went to Muhammad Ali's house.
Oh, wow.
And Muhammad Ali is, you know, this is right when he's really punchy, you know, and the Parkinson's is kicking in. And they sent Victor Rivera and Professor Tanaka to his house to literally just sit there and just not interview him. And I guess it's one of the most, it's extremely awkward, and I want to see it.
It sounds amazing.
But last but not least, we have to talk about Bear Trap Smith.
Oh, my God.
I'll let you.
Oh, my God. I forgot about him until you brought him up.
I thought that was going to be the first thing you were going to bring up.
Oh, I completely forgot about him because, like, he was like the, like, episode one that I was watching, he was the first guy. I was like, whoa, that's amazing.
Bear Trap Smith.
And then, like, I just completely forgot about him because I got so into the other episodes that he didn't really appear in. And it was just like, wow. Yeah.
Which one did you see?
I saw the one that you posted the link of, and then whatever the next two were that like came up in my watch now.
Because he does wrestle Steve Strong, Steve Strong later, and I fell asleep during that, so I don't know. But I know it ended with powder.
Yeah, I don't.
And okay, there's Super Mario,
mm-hmm.
and then there's this guy.
Yeah,
I think he has a worse splash than Super Mario.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, definitely.
It was. I don't even know. Like, he's just, oh, God.
I think, like, all right, if we're going to have a tournament of kayfabe wrestling where wrestlers we've talked about on this podcast, Super Mario and Bear Trap Smith would have to fight in the finals. Like, we'd have to rig it so they fought in the finals of the tournament.
Oh, we're rigging. Yeah, that's how we're booking it.
Yeah.
I kind of want I'm almost serious about this. I want to just delete all of my guys on WWE 2K and just make all of this.
Yeah.
And just run this show into the ground because the ring looks like it's concrete.
Yeah.
I mean that
Well, they were using a boxing ring in the one.
Is that the one with the
Budweiser on the turnbuckle?
I thought that was just a stylistic choice.
No, that was a straight up boxing ring.
Because Ring of Honor would do that.
Yeah, that was a boxing ring, and then the other matches like the one was definitely a wrestling ring because you could tell by the way the ropes move too. Like,
okay.
The ropes are really springy. It's a wrestling ring, but that one. The ropes didn't move at all. That was a boxing ring.
Ooh.
That was totally a boxing ring.
That had to suck for everybody.
Yeah, because I worked in a boxing ring once when NWA Rocky Mountain came to Lockport and ran a show. They ran it in a boxing ring.
Did you talk about this before?
I don't think I ever talked about it on this podcast.
When did this happen? Where was I?
I don't know, but I was doing. I did the play by play. But I did get in the ring beforehand, and I never.
Wait, NWA Rocky Mountain?
NWA Rocky Mountain. They're the Colorado NWA, but the guy who promotes it he's a Lockport native, so once a year he'd run a show in Lockport. So Troy, the boy Buchanan, Ian Decay, and myself decided we were just going to crash it, and
you go to XP Dub,
and they got themselves booked. In the battle royal, there was a battle royal, so he was like, "Yeah, go ahead and be in it." And then Lockport Champion or Lockport City Television or whatever it was broadcasting it. So I went over and I introduced myself, and they're like, "Hey, great, you're doing play by play." And I was like, "All right." So I did play by play, and Troy the Boy and Ian Decay got themselves booked just because we showed up.
Is there a tape of this
somewhere? I don't own it, but. That was the night I met Smith Hart. I met Smith Hart. Because his son was on the show. Mikey was on the show. And
Mikey Hart?
Yeah, Mikey Hart. And he was...
This is a Hart brother I'm not familiar with. I know who Smith is.
Yeah, Smith. It was his son, Mikey. And this kid was like 130 pounds, soaking wet. Just tiny. And he was... He was really nice, though. He was a nice kid and shook my hand afterwards. We exchanged emails. I don't think I ever heard from him, but.
Mikey Hart.
Yeah.
Or Smith Hart.
Mikey Hart and Smith Hart. The Harts.
Gotcha.
Hart family members.
Well, I would highly recommend watching California Championship Wrestling just to see it. Look up Bear Trap Smith. Just see that.
Yeah, look him up. If you're having trouble finding it on YouTube, go to our Facebook page, I Could Talk Kayfabe, and we posted a link to it. By now, it's like down the page. You'll have to scroll down a little bit, but you can look at all our other posts.
You could search for it. You could just search on the page, and you should be able to find it. But definitely check that out. And we'll have to do this again where we watch something randomly. Yeah. Like I have to go back more through that guy's channel because there's that five-star wrestling that I think is just Southern stuff.
I was watching a lot of the Independent Wrestling Alliance from Florida last week, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The 90s stuff?
Yeah, the stuff that they shot at Universal Studios. I
think I've referenced that before.
Yeah, I was watching a lot of that last week.
Mm.
That's definitely something I'd like to talk about someday.
You'll have to turn me on. You have to direct me to that because I'll have to jump in with them. We can talk about it.
Yeah.
So
we're going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about Kayfabe here. Magazines from yesteryear. That's what we do on this podcast. And the issue we're doing is New Wave Wrestling from November 1995, right before the Attitude Era. Well,
no.
A couple years before, but right before.
We're still new generation. Yeah. We still got a little bit of new generation.
Right before the NWO era, I guess you could say. Like a year before the NWO.
Gotcha.
And it's got some interesting stuff. I'll just put it at that. And we'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? Bad. I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents. And we're very uninformed, so...
Oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
And we are back on I Could Talk Kayfabe. New Wave Wrestling, November 1995.
New Wave Wrestling.
And this cover is so 90s. It's like, it screams 90s.
It's loud as hell. And I feel like this magazine's only been around for like maybe like a year or two.
Yeah.
Or maybe it isn't, because if you get you see later, and I think it doesn't come out very frequently. I feel like it comes out like in a staggered sense, because they would have they had like a couple issues, like 10 issues, and it's like first anniversary, and I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have like a regular issue, and then the next issue is like second anniversary.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute. You can't have that, but all right. But I'll be honest, I mean, it does feel very much like an 80s. It almost feels like it was done to kind of harken back to the wrestling iBooks.
Yeah.
Like it's almost done on purpose. But yeah, so it's cool. I mean, it's cool, but it's also very disappointing.
They have a lot of stuff in this magazine that, like, if you're a kid reading it in the newsstand in 1995, like I would be, there I wouldn't want to do any of this shit. Like that's in this magazine, I'd be like, why am I even looking at this? I would put this down and pick up an old magazine that I had already read again before I would like read this. This might be the worst magazine I think I've ever seen.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's really bad.
I'm taking them down.
And I wanted to talk about it because there's some stuff in there that that I want to mention.
Let's talk about the cover.
Yeah, the cover is insane.
So New Wave Wrestling, new and improved format, the best just got better.
It's bright purple,
yeah.
Going down to pink as it goes,
yeah,
lower.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the PWI would do stuff like that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but purple to pink? That's kind of weird.
Let's see. We got
a big photo of Bam Bam Bigelow.
Bam Bam Bigelow exclusive interview. So this must have been like right after he
WrestleMania was 11.
WrestleMania 11, but he was also like he was only with the WWF. I think he left. I think this might be like actually the month that it exists in,
yeah.
Because he wrestled like Gold Dust on the Survivor Series pay per view in 95, and then he didn't come back
mm-hmm.
after that. So maybe this is cause, and the thing is, I mean, I can't see him doing an interview with this place that isn't an indie wrestler or somebody that you don't have normal access to.
Yeah.
So I can see this being a thing where they just, you know, were able to get him first.
Did you see the back cover?
Yes.
It's pretty amazing.
Well, let's talk about the front cover first. So you got, okay, so real quick, you got Bam Bam Bigelow, exclusive interview. You got Malaya Hosaka, she's a very tiny Asian-American wrestler that was pretty prominent back in the 90s.
Was she that prominent, though?
As far as female wrestlers go, in my mind, from, I mean, at least in the, from like 92 to 90. 6-ish, that's who I was aware of.
Who would she have a feud with that I have heard of?
Well, nobody.
Exactly.
Because she never, but she was big on the, there's a lot of indie talk in this book. So for this guy, whoever, for the guys that are doing this magazine, this is a big deal.
Yeah. I wasn't really aware of her until, was it 03 or 04 when OSPW in Buffalo started coming around.
Right.
And Chris Halen booked her as the main attraction of his all-female show that he ran.
Yeah.
And if I could break kayfabe, which we don't usually do on this because we talk kayfabe on this podcast.
Yeah.
But if I could break kayfabe, let's just say she was one and done with that promotion and that's it. Without going into details about the dismissal of Malaya Hosaka in OSPW, but
that is that's a juicy tidbit.
Yeah, one and done.
We also got the independent scene, the return of the Ultimate Warrior in his one appearance in 1995.
Which is great because I figured he just no showed.
No, he actually did show up and he wrestled he wrestled Honky Tonk Man. And that was it. And then he didn't show up until, like, when they brought him back for WrestleMania 96. Special feature, the violence of ECW, how much is too much? 10 reasons why Bob Backlund should be the next U.S. president.
Yeah.
Also inside the history of the Canadian title color poster.
It's pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome, and it's very random. Let's talk about
the back cover.
We'll talk about the back cover,
which is weird because we don't normally talk about back covers right away, but this one is the exception because it looks like you got a bunch of Memphis wrestlers posing with old issues of the magazine in front of this like just generic. Almost graffiti. Maybe it's a marble backdrop.
This is like your high school when they're like, "Hey, you want to look hip?"
And
high school pictures.
And you've got Tommy Rich in his just the glory '90s trunks.
Yeah,
and with his '90s mullet, and you got Brian Christopher just posing with the magazine open, and he's just got the biggest grin on his face. And you got PG-13. They're wearing the belts, and they're looking at the magazine. And JC Ice's mustache is just amazing. Wolfie D's not so much. Then you got Bill Dundee under them, and he's got like the hey kind of look on his
face. He's got the fringe coat.
And then you've got Miss Texas, Jackie. She's just got the ooh face.
WWE Hall of Famer Jackie looking at wrestling scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we know who these people are, but there's no captions on these.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like a collage, and in the background you see like wrestling, New Wave Wrestling or whatever.
But like in 1995, unless you were really into like USWA wrestling, you wouldn't know you'd know who Tommy Rich is, but you really wouldn't know who anyone else is unless, you might have seen Bill Dundee in some magazines, but you really wouldn't know who
if you was. Didn't read wrestling magazines on the regular in the 90s, you would have no idea who PG-13 and Brian Christopher are.
Yeah, so, like, it just shows you that these people are just going to put whoever they have access to in the magazine.
Well, and also, these is actually the inside one is a favorite of mine.
I love that Rick Martel one in the water.
Is that the water? Or is that no? He's by a park.
Is he by a park?
Yeah,
I thought it was water.
That's a fence,
oh yeah, that is a fence with a baseball diamond.
Yeah, so they caught him shirtless at the park, and
that's really weird.
And they're like, "Hey, Rick Martel, you want to take this picture?" And they're like, "Former," and it's just like a very generic. It's a very standard background. It says, "Stars making waves," and former AWA world champion Rick the Model Martel has been busy independent bookings in Canada and the Northeast United States.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just have the same. I think this is an old photo of I think this photo of Mabel was taken the same time these photos on the back page were taken, because he might have took a trip down to Memphis.
It might have been because he's got the black hair. It might not be old. It might be like he might have just been working there, because like WWF would send talent there like to USWA.
Yeah, that's what I figure.
Yeah. So that's probably what it is.
Yeah. And so there's like Mabel won the King of the Ring. And then you have a picture. Then you have Big Dick Dudley in the corner. Yeah. Big Ted Dudley actually looking nice and tan. He looks
tan and jacked. He's looking good.
He's looking good.
Yeah.
And then Clash of the Champions, former AWA world title holder Vern Gagne and WWF world champion Pedro Morales exchange nostalgic title tales.
But they're not holding the magazine.
No, fuck that.
They're
fuck,
like, no, put fuck, your fucking magazine away.
But don't talk to me about that.
Assholes.
So Michael O'Hara is the publisher and editor-in-chief. He is the dude behind it. Apparently, also, there is a an official cat. Rufus the Wrestle Cat.
Oh.
Get some credit here.
He's no Stately Wayne Manor.
No. This guy's kind of like... He's a bit more, I think he's a bit more chill.
Oh.
I get the feeling he's more chill. He's
I really like, enjoyed the Stately Wayne Manor WordPress.
Yes, and we Stately Wayne Manor gave us his, did he give us his approval?
Yeah, he approved it, yeah. He liked the podcast. So shout out to Stately Wayne Manor again.
Yeah.
And we'll tag him on Twitter again.
We all have our rankings here, which, is it, to be honest, the WCW rankings in here, I think are the only time they mention WCW in this whole book.
I think maybe one more time, but that's it. Yeah, they don't really... WCW almost doesn't exist to these.
Yeah.
This magazine.
Yeah, so...
And I like how Ric Flair is like ranked right underneath the Shark.
The Shark has a higher ranking than the Nature Boy. Kamala... Renegade!
The Renegade.
Renegade is even higher.
Renegade might have been TV champ at this time.
He probably was, yeah.
Road Warrior Hawk, but no mention of Animal.
Well, Hawk was solo then.
Was he?
Yeah, Hawk did. Because that was back when, like, there was a... He did a pay-per-view where he wrestled Kurosawa. It was, like, one of the 90... It was, like... I think it was Halloween Havoc, 95. Mm. Then the WWF rankings have... It's just the top 10. We got Diesel at the top. I assume Razor Ramon is the IC title holder, but he's number 9.
Yeah, Jeff Jarrett might be the IC title holder.
No, because I think this is November. He's already Jarrett's already back in. I think Jarrett's already kind of not there.
Wow.
Because he was gone kind of like in the summer, and then he came back for like that one match with
Goldust the champ.
No, well, Goldust no, because this is 95. Goldust didn't win the title until the Rumble 96.
Oh.
So I think it's Ramon. But they also got Isaac Yankum, which I do like they spelled Yankum like you spell Steakums.
Yeah.
And also Waylon Mercy.
Yeah, making number eight.
Making number eight. And then we got some tag teams in here. Techno Team 2000 in the WWF.
Savio Vega and Razor Ramon are the number 2 ranked tag team. However, I don't remember them teaming up.
They did. Yeah, they wrestled Men on a Mission, I think, on the one paper. Oh, no, was it? Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, they wrestled Men on a Mission. They tagged up a bunch. It was back when he first debuted.
Yeah.
Because that was the whole thing. He was Razor Ramon's Puerto Rican friend.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't get Victor Rivera, so they got Savio Vega.
They were like, Quang, take your mask off. You're Savio Vega.
Yeah, Quang, take your mask. Quang, this Quang thing isn't going so well.
Yeah. I loved Quang. I thought Quang was great. That was just my opinion, though.
I couldn't, y'all be honest, watching them wrestle, I couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah.
Good job, Savio Vega.
I loved him. He sprayed the mist, just like you should if you're wearing a mask. I loved it.
Where's he in our game? Where's he in the wrestling games? When are we going to get a new generation pack?
Yeah, with Savio Vega versus Quang.
Well, they already had Savio. Well, we gotta get the mist. I mean, it's pretty much. I mean, Savio Vega did make it into the game the one year.
I mean, we have the Godfather versus Papa Shango. Give me Savio Vega versus Quang,
or give me or do one for all of Bub. What's his face? Do a Brutus Beefcake multiple character pack. So you got the Zodiac, you've got the Butcher. You've got when he was Furface, when he was running in with the mask, you know, you've got the Beefcake, you know, from 85. You got Beefcake from 90, from the 90s.
You got the Disciple.
Ooh, you got the Disciple. Yeah. And then maybe and at the very end, he was Brute Force.
Yeah. What about the Booty Man?
And the Booty Man. Yeah, you could do like literally just make the entire game nothing but Brutus Beefcake.
The Booty Man was more or less Brutus the Barber Beefcake, sans the barber, though.
Yeah.
He was basically the same gimmick, just he didn't cut the hair.
He was a butt-loving barber.
Yeah. He just shook his booty, and he had the booty babe.
He shook his booty.
Which was Kimberly.
Also, you know what? I guess that's it.
Yeah.
I guess that's for the writing. Yeah.
Did you read the letters by any chance?
What, at the end?
Whenever the letters are. The letters were pretty good.
I glossed over them a bit.
They were pretty funny. Ooh. They were like, the letter was like, what's Shawn Michaels' real name?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah, no, we'll get to that. But basically, yeah, so we have, like, their newswire. We'll kind of just flip through this here. The newswire, we got a picture of Techno Team 2000.
Yeah.
Which basically, and this is the thing, okay, so the way that they do this is when they tell you the guy's name, they also tell you their real name.
Mm-hmm.
Because for some reason, this is a very, like, how would you say it? This is a very, like, for some reason, this is a kayfabe breaking magazine.
Yeah. Like, there they have Skip, and then in parentheses, Chris Candido.
Right. Like, everybody is...
Oh, even Shawn Michaels, parentheses, Michael Hickenbaum.
Yeah, no, say everybody. Yeah, even, wow. Even like, they even tell you that for all you astute new waivers who wrote Wrestling Wonder, Gustavo Vega is none other than former WWF mystery man known as Quang, the Ninja, comma, parentheses, Juan Rivera. The answer is yes. So,
that's really weird.
It is. This is the news. They're like, by the way, here are people's real names.
I wish they did like Ted DiBiase, parentheses, Ted DiBiase. That would have been funny.
I know, because I'm not sure if that's his real name. Ted DiBiase. They even tell you about some legal stuff in here. Apparently, there's also a thing in here about Roddy Piper's latest action movie, Jungle Ground, which I've never heard of.
I missed that one.
He was apparently a guest on some cable show, America After Hours, where him and I think it was just him. Oh, no, it was just him. He apparently was a great guest on that show.
Kind of reminds me of the Marine 5 is coming out with The Miz.
Wow,
and
they're gonna do like they're gonna keep going with that like they do with
Heath Slater and Curtis Axel are in this one as well. Right. They're like his Marine buddies, I guess.
Bo Dallas is in it too.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he plays. He plays like a villain. Plays a biker villain.
So, yeah, that's pretty incredible. I have to watch these movies. How come they're not on the network?
I don't know. I think it has something to do probably with rights issues. Not that they don't own it, but it's something about like distribution.
Yeah,
and they're like, we can only
because they're usually distributed through Lionsgate. So
I'm certain Lionsgate is like, well, we can't just put, you know, we want to sell DVDs because the whole reason why these movies exist,
yeah,
they're not released theatrically. They exist on DVD.
Yeah,
so
well, they have to have a limited theatrical run or else Walmart won't carry them.
Really? I think they just gave up on the theatrical run.
No, they have to at least show it in a theater like in Los Angeles or New York, or else Walmart won't carry it.
I remember when like Knucklehead came out because I remember I used.
I still have that Blu-ray that I never watched.
It was sometimes they would put them up on Netflix too, and I think I watched the Chaperone and Knucklehead. I read the script for Knucklehead when it first came out because I used to intern at WWE Studios, and that was one of the movies that they were prepping.
Knucklehead actually looks pretty good.
Knucklehead's not terrible.
Yeah.
It's bad, but it's not good. It's not terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And they they used to, you know, put those movies out in like theaters, like in like one theater in Chino Hills for like a week.
Yeah.
And you know, wherever they can do it, and they would just be like, okay, well, we did it. Now we can put it on DVD.
That's basically what you have to do in order to get Walmart and Target and stuff to sell your DVDs.
Yeah.
So,
what is this here? Speaking of Kevin Sullivan, because they're talking about Kevin Sullivan.
Yeah.
I like how they're like talking about the Dungeon of Doom, and they're like Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan has recruited Kamala, parentheses Jim Harris, and the Shark, formerly Avalanche John Tenta. The Master is none other than Matt Legend Curtis. King Curtis Iaukea, wouldn't it be great to see the Purple Haze, Mark Lewin, return to Kevin's crazy crew?
That would have been great.
Actually, yes. Yes, it would have. and shave Bob Roop's half a head again and bring him back, too.
Yeah. So this is the other spot where they mentioned WCW.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We were also asked about the dates of the... Oh, hang on. Well, this is something that just popped out at me. Speaking of Sullivan, his lovely wife, Nancy, ECW's woman, which, you know, just putting it out there.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I had I read this in 1995, it would have blew my mind.
I'm not gonna lie, because 95, I didn't know everything.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything.
We didn't know, because everyone kept it kayfabe.
Yeah, but this magazine was not. And they're like, she's being considered for a color commentator spot on WCW's new live Monday night TV show, titled Head to Head.
Oh, Head to Head. Oh.
So wait, is that what they're going to call Nitro?
Head to Head.
Head to Head?
Head to Head. And she's going to be the color commentator.
That's a drastically different program. With your host, woman, and Mongo, I guess?
Yeah.
Calling the action on WCW's Head to Head?
I think it'd be like Tony Schiavone, woman, and Mongo.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? I feel like reporting this to somebody that actually would have known and them telling me, get the fuck out of here. Because I'm certain if it went to, like, even if you asked Eric Bischoff, I said, was going to call Head to Head? Is this true? He'd be like, shut up.
Oh, we got to hang on. I will keep this on my person at all times in case I ever bump into Eric Bischoff.
Or anybody that was related to WCW, if you run into Hogan, or maybe...
Oh, we could ask Hogan... We could ask Hogan this weekend if we wanted to.
Why?
Hogan is doing an autograph signing at Frank & Sons.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we could go down there and ask him.
That's a drive. I don't want to go to City of Industry. You know, Frank & Sons, look, I love going there, and I actually probably would hope to find more magazines there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's because we get these a lot. Joe's been doing all the legwork on getting these magazines.
Yeah, I've been going on eBay and. And, yeah, so...
But I'm not going to spend, $100? It's a lot of money just to get a picture with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. And I've already got a picture with him, so I'm good.
The violence of ECW. This is just basically, like, is ECW even wrestling? Yeah, it says wrestling.
Yeah, it's wrestling.
It says wrestling in the name. Yeah. You know, it's asking a question. It's something like... It's an article based on a question that you probably could have just answered already.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Just who cares?
Yeah.
I also want to point out real quick, this comes up a lot. They have like a lot of collectible panels.
Yeah,
in
they got the Flash figure, the one where you wound up his arms and legs.
Yeah, the Toy Biz 90 one.
I loved that one. I had that figure, and I don't know where it is.
Well, you could get it from New Wave Wrestling, P.O. Box 651 Gracie Station, they just keep putting this. It's like the only ad they have.
I had that goddamn figure, and I want it back.
You can find that. Go to Frank & Sons. Go meet Hogan.
Just go to Frank & Sons. You're right.
Go meet Hogan.
Yeah.
Pick this up, and then ask Hogan about Head to Head.
Yeah.
And then
because that figure made the move to California with me, and I've lost it since like moving from place to place.
All of my DC superpowers have made it with me.
Yeah.
I do not have the Flash, but I have my Firestorm.
I had the Oh my god, I had the Flash.
I have a question here. What does this mean up here?
If at first you don't succeed, fry again. And it's Benoit, and he's hitting one of the guys with Public Enemy with a frying pan. That's what it means.
Oh, see, that's a frying pan. I didn't. Yeah. I thought there was fire.
No, he's hitting him with a fire.
Oh,
a
frying pan. Oh, that's very astute. Yeah. Okay, good job.
And then you had you got a nice picture of Eddie Guerrero. I guess he's wrestling. Who's it? Too Cold Scorpio.
Yeah,
but Eddie Guerrero and Dean Malenko had some great matches in ECW.
Yeah, that was wrestling. That's where you can say that was wrestling.
Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, they didn't really answer the question. They're just like, what does ECW want to be?
Yeah, and then they just
profitable.
They just talk about what's going on in ECW and like, oh, is it violent? Well, you be the judge. And it's like, yeah, I am the judge. Some of their matches are violent. A lot of them aren't. So
a lot of them aren't very good, to be honest.
Remembering Ilio DiPaolo,
yeah,
which is kind of hits us home because he's from Buffalo. We're from Buffalo. You've come across Dennis, his son, quite a bit.
I met Ilio DiPaolo when I was a very young child. I went to his restaurant. He came over and he shook the hands of my family when we ate there.
Yeah.
And my parents were like, man, he's got big hands, right?
He's a big man.
He's a big man.
He was... It's a tragic death, the way he went out, and it's too bad.
I'm not making fun of this at all, but it was just the one time I met Larry Zbyszko, and it was me and Big Mosh, and we were down at TNA in the asylum, and this is when John would run up to everybody and hand them a plaque or a can of sauce.
Yeah.
And... a can of sauce of Ilya DiPaolo's sauce because he would just literally just – I don't even think he got it for free.
I'm sure he paid for it,
and then he just would pack it, and he'd be like, we got to get the sauce. We got these plaques. We got blah, 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 blah. And we gave one to – you know, we saw Larry Zbysko, and we gave Larry one, and Larry just goes – he just looks at it and goes – yeah, it's a shame how he got hit by a car like that. And then just walks away.
Oh, man.
So.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was terrible tragedy. But loved that restaurant. I've only been there once, but I still loved it the one time I went.
I've only been there maybe to eat, maybe twice in my entire life. It's okay.
But it's in the South Towns. It's in Blaisdell. What do you want me to do? I can't get down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's out of your way.
So, but I had Big Anthony's in Niagara Falls. Have you ever had that one?
Big Anthony's?
Yeah.
Is he a wrestler?
Yeah. Anthony... Big Anthony Parisi.
Johnny Swinger's stepdad.
He had a restaurant in Niagara Falls, Ontario I went to. And it was like the decor of the restaurant was like a big giant wrestling ring. And
you'd
walk through the ropes and there was just wrestling.
Wait, this was in where?
Niagara Falls, Ontario.
How did I not know about this?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
There's a world of wrestling that I did not know about in Western New York and Southern Ontario.
Yeah, and it was all decorated with wrestlers on the walls and everything.
I would have loved that.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I would have loved that as a kid.
Yeah.
Or as a teenager. Or now. I'd go now.
Yeah.
Is it open still?
No.
Fuck.
I think after he died, it kind of went under with him.
Oh, so. Okay.
Yeah.
You would actually eat inside of the ring?
Well, I mean, it wasn't like a ring. There was just like ropes, like not ropes. But
did you have to, in order to get to where to get somewhere, you had to like go through the ropes?
No, like there was like.
Or was it optional?
It was just like a surrounding the dining area was like, you know, like one of those half walls. And it was with the decorator as ropes.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome.
We got random interviews in here.
Yeah, this guy here is we're an American magazine, right? And it's the 90s. But let's do an exclusive interview with the original kangaroo, Al Costello. I've never heard of this guy. Apparently he was a big deal in Australia.
Well, the kangaroos were a big deal back in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, they talk about how Eddie Gilbert loved this guy.
Well, yeah, because his dad, he grew up in the business. So, yeah, he probably was, and he probably wrestled in Memphis and stuff like that, because I think this is where that's from, picture here.
I just assumed it was like they were Australian and they only wrestled in Australia.
They did probably wrestle a lot in Australia, but they were very big in Memphis. I mean, at one point, and they've went through many different iterations, because at one point there's...
I love he's just carrying a boomerang around with
him. Well, that's what they did. That was their gimmick. They were Australians and they carried around boomerangs.
That's pretty impressive.
And then one point, and very early in Al Snow's career, the guy who ran the gimmick was based in like Ohio, and Al Snow was a part of the new Kangaroos.
Oh, good for Al Snow.
Yeah.
Along with his other gimmicks like Shinobi and Leaf Cassidy.
Al Snow would actually be very much interested in this.
Yeah.
But he's not here, so we're not going to talk about it.
No. We talked enough about it already.
Let's read these. 10 reasons why Bob Backlund should become the next U.S. president. Number 10, not only has he never inhaled, as far as anyone could tell, he's never exhaled.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like he could be dead. Spells potato. Number 9, spells potato with a silent U ending. That makes me think he might be French.
Yeah.
Number 8, can blame goofy domestic and international policies on one too many pile drivers.
Oh, man.
Shout out to today.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7, plans to pattern his entire term of office after his favorite president, Adlai Stevenson. Do you get that joke?
I don't get it at all.
I don't care. Number 6, believes trickle-down theory can be attributed to a leaky faucet.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Number 5, thinks Boutros Ghali is a Turkish submission hold.
Once went to college with a guy with an extra Boutros.
Was he a submission hold, too?
No.
No. Number 4, if elected, he has promised a tag team title match to the duo of Rush Limbaugh and Pat Buchanan.
They get a title match or the titles? They get a title.
They get a chance. They don't get the titles. Oh. They get a title match. So that means
who are they going to face?
95. So we're talking. I hope it's Harlem Heat because that seems like it would be.
Yeah, it would be Harlem Heat.
That would be a good. That would be a good match.
Yeah,
I think that would be a good match for.
Yeah, because Owen Hart and Yokozuna, I don't think they would be such a good match. So yeah, Harlem Heat.
Yeah. Yokozuna, or I mean that's. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a better tech. Or if you're talking ECW, the Pitbulls. No, we're not talking ECW. Nobody's talking about ECW.
I think it was Too Cold Scorpio and
Sandman.
Sandman, yeah, they were the tech.
Was it Public Enemy?
Yeah, because Too Cold was known as Too Gold at the time.
Too Gold, okay.
Yeah.
Number three, promises to make Keeneburg, New Jersey, the new nation's capital. Apparently that's a joke.
That must be where the magazine takes place.
Well, maybe that's where the guy was from or something.
Or maybe it's like a shitty part of town. And they always
Number two, we'll use any brutal, barbaric means necessary to keep the peace. Okay. And number one, he has the perfect background for a job of this moral and ethical caliber. 20 years as a professional wrestler.
Oh, those are great qualifications.
That's funny.
Yeah. Now here's our interview with Bam Bam Bigelow.
Bam Bam Bigelow. And so I'll just say this real quick. So basically all the interviews start like this where they go, so how'd you get started into wrestling? When were you born? Were you a good student? Have you ever gotten hurt? You know, so, I mean, just very generic questions.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a very blah interview here. World's Comics Greatest Grab Bag. 100 comics for $40.
That is a bargain. How much is shipping?
$5 shipping.
That's a bargain.
So that's a bargain. I'm trying to think of like what that would break down to, but
it's
that's...
It's less than 50 cents a comic.
I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta go through New Wave Wrestling. Are these guys still around? Can I still get that deal? This Jesus Christ, this interview is gigantic.
Yeah, and you got Bam Bam with the kids, and they're holding some kind of belt.
Yeah, buddies. Bigelow's buddies.
Oh.
Those aren't his kids. They're just kids.
They're just kids.
And he's being very nice. Bam Bam Bigelow once saved a bunch of kids from a burning house.
And then he had 40% burns all over his body.
Yeah.
And that might have led to his death, because I think you'd become a drug addict after that, and then you die.
I'm certain he was probably doing stuff ahead of, probably from being a wrestler.
And the fact that he was, almost 400 pounds.
400 pounds, and he literally the majority of his offense consisted of taking 400 pounds and launching it off of the top rope just about every night.
Yeah.
You know, leading with his head. Most of the time.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Bam Bam.
R.I.P. Bam. Yeah, I miss Bam Bam.
Yeah, I do. He was good.
He's a lot of fun to watch in older stuff. Like if you watch any old Memphis stuff, sometimes you can catch him on there doing the thing with Jerry Lawler. Yeah, he's awesome. And I also like that in WWF games, they for some reason keep putting him in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they need to fix that goddamn Greetings of Asbury Park, though, because it looks like shit.
Yeah.
I know that's maybe how he did it, but it looks like garbage. We have a nice little inset here, a color inset, not like an inset poster, but a poster, but an inset thing of the history of the Canadian heavyweight title, Toronto, Ontario version.
Yeah.
And it only went on for... 6 years, I think.
78 to 84.
78, is that six? Yeah. 6 years. Dino Bravo won it a few times.
Yeah, he was the main champ.
And this is the NWA version, because what happened was, I remember this, because if you actually, and it might be even on the network, he won it a bunch of times from, in Canada. You know, it went back and forth between, Dewey Robertson, not Missing Link.
Yeah, Dewey Robertson.
The Crusader Dewey Robinson.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, this is before Missing Link, so I guess it shouldn't be that impressed. Yeah. Mr. Fuji won it. Big John Studd won it. And also, this is the thing. For the one point, could you not do the real names all the time? Because it's really annoying. I don't know.
Sergeant Slaughter.
You get Sergeant Slaughter winning it. Angela Mosca. And then what happened was Angela Mosca won it last... he was the last one to win it in 84. And then Jack Tunney, who was the promoter in Toronto, stopped working at NWA and went to the WWF.
Yeah.
And they actually did, if there's a match or two, where they did bring back the WWF Canadian title, where I think Dino Bravo won it and had it. And he was the only person that he only defended it once or twice. And that was it.
So
R.I.P. Dino Bravo.
R.I.P. Dino Bravo.
R.I.P. Malaya Hosaka.
No. Really?
No.
Wait, are we sure?
No, I just jinxed her.
Oh. Oh, this could, people are wondering why all these wrestlers are dying.
So we didn't point this out in the kangaroo one, but I'll point it out in this one. So the names of these articles all have like they're doing like these gimmicky ones, like Malaya Hosaka, the Asian American Matt Marauder with a mission.
Oh.
And they're trying to make it all with the same letter. So yeah, and they have a nice little interview with Malaya Hosaka. Very young in this. In this magazine, she must have been I don't know her age, but maybe 30 at the most. I don't know.
She was on an episode of Nitro like once.
Yeah, that I know. I know she was on Nitro, but this was prior to Nitro. This was like when they were going to call it head to head.
Yeah. Oh. I can't get over that. But yeah, so she's they just talked to her. And actually, that's it. To be honest, if you didn't know anything about Milo Hosaka, you'd know everything about her from this.
Yeah.
So if you want to get your news from her, get her news about her.
I could see why Chris Halen would want to base an entire women's promotion around her.
She's cute.
She was.
She's cute, and apparently she's a very good wrestler.
Not by 2003 she wasn't, but
oh,
right, yeah. She is, yeah.
Well, okay, 95, yeah. You're talking 95 Malaya. Yeah. So, yeah. But, yeah, there you go. You get to learn all sorts of things about her, and she's here she is kicking people and doing there's something in here I saw about some of her wrestlers that she used to wrestle. Maybe not. Okay.
Did she ever wrestle Heidi Lee Morgan?
No, she wrestled Linda Dallas, Kat LaRue, Penelope Paradise, Babyface Nelly. That's those are names. And then we get to the independent section.
And you got Joe LaDuke.
Joe LaDuke!
Which is interesting, because he must have been 100 years old by then.
Yeah.
And there he is, Joe LaDuke.
Yeah, we got a bunch of basically anything that's not WWF or WCW.
Joe LaDuke just showed up in the USWA. And they talk about the AWF in this article.
They do talk about the AWF. They talk about...
R.I.P. AWF.
Yeah, they talk about this is back when the first just been rolling out.
The round system.
That all came out on DVD, you know that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I bought it, and then I got rid of it, like, pretty quickly. Probably, but I mean, that's something I wish I didn't get rid of. And because I can't really find it on YouTube.
No, yeah, it was a very limited run, and I have some on VHS, but I don't have all of it. So, yeah, I would love to have those DVDs myself.
That's something where you got to go to, like, a con, like a wrestling con. And just fuck around and be like, oh, look, I'm going to spend $30 for this. And then I'd be really upset about if I had to do that. But, you know, whatever.
I'd rather get the DVDs than watch my VHSs because better quality.
Did you tape it off of like late night after Saturday Night Live bullshit? Because that's when it would be on. It was on like on the CBS affiliate in Buffalo, WIVB. It would be on
1 in the morning on Saturday nights.
Because what they did was they used to have. I think I discovered it because I used to watch. Well, I used to stay up all the time watching like the shitty USA movies.
Yeah,
back then. But also, I remember back in the mid '90s, they had a promotion. Or they had a show on, I think it was on Channel 4, WIVB, which was just a music show, like a music magazine show about the alternative scene, like Nickel City scene or whatever. And it was partnered with The Edge. So, and me being, you know, 1995 Sean was like, I'm interested in this, you know. And so I watched, because you get to see people from radio on TV.
Yeah.
That was always kind of like a big deal.
What a novel concept.
I know. It was very exciting. Kit Missile, one of my favorite DJs from back then, one of my first professional crushes. I didn't work with her. I'm just saying, like, professional. What the fuck does that mean? What the hell am I talking about?
Well, I don't know.
But anyway, so that it would be on after this because it was, you know, paid programming. And so AWF, you get to check that out then. And I never got to see as many of the matches until I got the DVDs. And I didn't really – I'm disappointed. I don't get to have primetime Ron Powers in the mix. As well as I think Mr. Hughes, the Warlord. Actually, my favorite. I'll say this about the AW or AWF. One of my favorite matches, and I'll talk about this to this day. Is it was a match between Nails and some guy, and Nails. Or I think it was like the Prisoner. He was something.
No, he was Nails.
Was he Nails?
Yeah, they just used all the gimmicks in the AWF.
Okay.
And they used WWF theme music there, too.
Oh, okay.
Like, Coco Beware had his song. Honky Tonk Man had his song. They all had their songs.
So he's wrestling a dude, and he's beating the piss out of this jobber outside of the ring. And at one point, he picks up, like a small boxing stool, and he's, like, maybe, like, 50 feet away, and he throws it at the dude's head while this guy's on all fours. Like, I remember him clobbering the guy with the stool from a distance. Like, that actually happened. Like, he actually just threw this thing, because, you know, Nails is just a fucking maniac.
Yeah, didn't he have a feud with Tony Atlas?
Probably.
That promotion.
I think you had to have it. I think everybody had to have a feud with Tony Atlas if you went there.
Yeah.
Michael Hayes, that he used to wrestle there.
Did he really?
He wrestled. I think he might have wrestled like one or two matches there, because it was like shortly after that was when he ended up as Doc Hendricks and he retired and everything.
Greg Valentine and Tommy Rich were the tag champs.
Yes, that's they were. They were managed by
Rico Suave,
some fat guy. He was the Tux Newman of his time.
He was like a Bobby Heenan
ripoff. I think he was Tux Newman.
Yeah, he might have been. He was a Bobby Heenan ripoff. Kind of had like the purple shirt and he called people humanoids.
My other favorite thing, Conan 2000.
Conan 2000, yeah.
Which is not Conan, and no. It wasn't the year 2000. It was just Scott Putski.
Yeah.
So there. That was AWF. We had some other notes in here about all these independent shows.
The Warrior.
This is where the Warrior comes in. The Warrior is wrestling for the NWC, whatever that means. I'm assuming National Wrestling Cartel.
Wasn't it in Vegas?
I like when they call things cartel.
Yeah.
It kind of makes it sound like it shouldn't exist. Like it's illegal.
Didn't Mil Máscaras show up there too or something?
Sabu defeated Terry Funk. Mil Máscaras is expected to work a number of spot shows.
Oh, good.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Big news is the arrival of Jim Hellwig, the man formerly known as Ultimate Warrior. He's scheduled to resume his feud with the Honky Tonk Man.
Didn't know he had a feud with Honky Tonk Man.
You what?
I mean, I know he won the Intercontinental title from him, and then they had like a rematch, but wasn't that it?
Yeah, well, I mean, that he's the only guy that's there that they can pair him with. What are they going to do, pair him with Terry Funk? You think Terry Funk's going to work with him?
Pair him with Mil Máscaras. There you go.
Ooh.
Mil Máscaras versus the Ultimate Warrior.
Holy shit.
I'm just the booker right there.
Holy shit. That would be a difficult match to watch.
Yeah.
Because Mil Máscaras is not selling shit,
mm-mm.
And Warrior is not doing any, and Warrior is barely putting in the work.
There you go.
You know, look around 95, you know, 95 Warrior, I mean, you know, got to call it what it is.
Yeah.
Wow. Apparently he's going to be opening up a wrestling school.
Oh,
in conjunction with the NWC.
The Warrior's going to open up a wrestling school.
Top stars include Cactus Jack, Mr. Hughes, Virgil, and the Junkyard Dog.
Oh, those are some top stars. And then you got Moolah and May together in 95.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking about this. I was like, because this didn't seem out of place to me. But then I realized just now that this is 1995.
So if you read like in this article over here, there was a LIWA, Ladies International Wrestling Association. And it was an all-women's promotion, and they ran a battle royal. And then the last two got to wrestle May and Moolah, and they did the jobs to May and Moolah.
Well, so. You're gonna.
Yeah. So May and Moolah were, like, together before they returned to the WWE. They were, like, just – they were together.
Yeah, look, Mae Young looks very young. Looks young here.
Well, young compared to
– young compared to future.
Yeah. I mean, they still look pretty ancient.
Yeah, they're dust.
Yeah.
I also like here Ludwig Borga. Ooh, some odds and ends here.
They were booked a ballpark brawl, then Moolah died.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought you meant Ludwig Borga.
No. Well, no, Ludwig Borga, rest in peace himself. I was actually on an airplane with Ludwig Borga once.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
How come you haven't told us?
It was around 95, actually. I should have had this magazine.
Oh, man. You could have asked about head-to-head.
It was it was April 95. I flew out here to visit, and I was sitting in first class, and Ludwig Borga was also sitting in first class.
Oh.
He was just done with the WWF at the time. And
was he enjoying our dirty American water?
No, he was just – I think he was sleeping the whole flight. Yeah.
Let's see here. Yeah, but Ludwig Borga – and Damien Demento.
Oh.
Which I do like here. They give him the treatment of Philip Mondo Clean Theus.
Oh.
Because if you didn't know Damien Demento from his WWF, you would definitely know him from his IWCCW gimmick of Mondo Clean.
Yes, you would.
If you're reading
this magazine, you probably would.
Yeah, 100% you are. They can be seen in the hit motion picture Die Hard 3.
Oh.
I have to go back and watch that now.
Well.
Because I would definitely recognize both of those guys.
First of all, it's not even called Die Hard 3. It's called Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Oh, okay.
And second of all, I don't think they're in that movie.
Well, Die Hard 3 doesn't technically exist, so. And very sad. Oh, and this relates to what we were talking about earlier. We are very sad to report the passing of independent ring veteran Don Mr. America Ross, 48, result of a heart attack. For the past 10 years, he has been wrestling on the West Coast under the name Ripper Savage.
Oh, Ripper Savage.
We forgot to talk about Ripper Savage.
We did.
Actually, I think it was... Yeah, because he was on that show.
Yeah, he was.
Ripper Savage on the California Championship Wrestling. Ripper Savage was basically like... If Tux Newman is the stereotypical pro wrestler manager, Ripper Savage is your stereotypical pro wrestler.
Yeah.
Because he's got like the blonde sides with a black mohawk. He is jacked beyond belief.
That's who I was thinking of, and I was like, oh, we got to talk about it. And I couldn't think of his name. That's Ripper Savage.
Ripper Savage. He's the one. Yeah, that's right. Because him and what's his face, Bear Trap Smith.
Yeah.
We're brawling, but apparently, yeah, and apparently it's. that California, I just love it because they're like, he was working out with Hulk Hogan. He's lifted more than Hogan.
Yeah,
like sure he was. Maybe he was. Maybe Hulk was only.
It's possible. Maybe they like knew each other in Minnesota, and he was like, oh.
But the whole premise was that they were at Venice Beach together.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's
because
true.
Hulk Hogan's from Venice Beach.
But they were all like hanging out in Venice Beach. Hogan, Steve Strong, Jesse Ventura. Brutus Beefcake, Sting, they were all lifting weights.
Oh, yeah, no, they're all doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But RIP, Ripper Savage.
Yeah.
We get a look at kind of a cool thing here, like a little aside, Weird Wrestling Tales, Wrestling and Comics Part 2, which some of the stuff I'm pretty familiar with, but it's a comic book guy, but some interesting stuff in here about the wrestling, you know, about masked wrestlers and all that. And then we get some...
Lewis Blaine.
Some British guy.
Yeah. Why?
Again.
Bombastic Battler beckons Britain's best. That's what he does.
Stop it. Stop it.
And if you see this guy, he's got like a unitard with underoos and just.
Oh, he's got the most generic singlet outfit. He's got the most generic 80s jobber outfit.
Oh, my God.
Like, not even the WWF jobber. We're talking like AWA jobber.
Yeah.
We're talking California Championship Wrestling jobber.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, we get like a whole freaking article about him. We learn everything about him.
He was in a tag team at one point with this guy in a mustache.
Yeah.
And he had the Star of David on his shirt.
Oh, okay.
He must be a Jew. I don't know. They were known as the Brat Pack. Go figure.
Oh.
Lewis Blaine and Clive Cannell.
Yeah.
From friends to foes overnight. So I'm guessing Cannell turned on Blaine.
Did you know that you can buy... From the New Wave Wrestling, you could buy yourself some Hulk Hogan thank you cards.
Oh,
that just say Hulk thank you, and it's just a picture of Hulk Hogan. I'm into that. Video collection. Got some stuff in here. We're talking about everything. Yeah, I guess we're talking about everything in this book.
Yeah,
pen pals. Did you read these?
I don't know.
Okay, this dude is 23 apparently.
Oh.
And he's only looking for female fans of Jeff Jarrett, Sabu, and Owen Hart.
That's got to be his high school senior picture.
100% is. Because then the next one here, they got this picture of a kid who's an actual kid. I tried to see if anybody on here actually recognized. I don't know anybody here. Ooh, Sheldon Goldberg. I know who that is. Evan Ginsberg. This is the New York, the Northeast scene come alive. Dave Mel. Oh, this is all just for fanzines. Okay. Actually, one of my favorite, another good one here is a. This lady, Hedy Hopfinger, she's from Austria. She's 45 years old. She wants U.S. fans between the ages of 40 and 55 of Adam Bomb and Sting. Very specific. Yeah, there's a lot of people here where I think they just randomly picked wrestlers to put in for these people.
Yeah.
Because one guy here is apparently looking, this fellow here from New Jersey is looking for people to talk, become friends with that are friends of, fans of, Shawn
I just got an idea. I have to cut you off.
Oh, okay.
So in this magazine, we didn't say it on the podcast here, but they give the the mailing address of these people. We're going to have to write some letters.
Let's get some postcards. Postcards are easy. You could just be like, hello.
We'll take a picture of it, and we'll be like, found your ad. You're looking for a pen pal. And what is this
again? New Wave Wrestling.
New Wave Wrestling from 1995. I, too, am a fan of Bret Hart.
And I, too, am a fan of Jim Powers.
So we might have to do that.
I'm gonna sorry, but they're dead. I mean, a lot of people are our age at this time. One guy's a question mark. He doesn't know what his outlook is.
Oh, he doesn't know.
It's a mystery, man. Mm-mm. I'm just gonna write him a letter. How old are you? And what wrestlers do you like? Oh, he likes all wrestlers and all and promotions.
Oh,
yeah.
Are you a fan of Joe LaDuke?
Are you a fan of Steve Strong? We get some international stuff. This is I'll, real quick. They talk more about the South African wrestling scene in here than I've ever seen anybody talk about.
They talk about like the South African wrestling scene.
Central and South African wrestling. Yeah,
more than they talk about WCW.
Yes, 100%. Lance Von Erich is all over this wrestling scene. So
that's where he ended up.
Warlord is over there. Oh. Billy Two Eagles.
Oh, Billy Two Eagles. He was in the AWF.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
And their champion is one of the champions is Tony Destroyer. I like it. Yeah, I know. We need to. Ooh, wait. What's this guy's name? Iron Fineface.
Oh,
that's not a name.
That's his name.
Ring Marshall is the new NWF ladies champ. Tina Terror holds the world class women's crown. Yeah, that is literally the most I've ever seen. I mean, the only time I hear about South African wrestling is the one story about from Cliff Compton on Colt Cabana's podcast about something about wrestling in Power Udi and wrestling in Africa. Yeah. And anytime they mention Justin Gabriel or Adam Rose, because they're from South Africa and they've been trained there. And
so Paul is what's his face?
Colonel De Beers.
No, they're getting 10. What's his name?
Ty Dillinger.
Oh no, I was thinking, yeah, Ty Dillinger.
He's from Canada.
Well, yeah.
Are we starting that rumor that he's from South Africa?
He's billed from Canada, but he was billed as from South Africa when he wrestled in Canada.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's Sean Spears, because we wanted to book him. Like a African American battle royal where all the black guys got in the ring and they were going to fight over the title. And then we're going to book him to win. Like he's just going to enter and win.
That's kind of a clever idea.
The African warrior.
Yeah.
Goody Moore.
Yeah. Goody Moore.
Goody Moore.
It also could be Rasta the Voodoo Man. Do you remember Rasta the Voodoo Man?
I do. I remember him. Yeah.
He kind of looked like him. I don't think it's the same guy. Yeah, and here, yeah. So basically, okay. Let's finish up here with the letters. The mailbag I think is called Pin for Mail. Oh no, wait. So here's the letters, but this is just like a answer man column.
Uh-huh.
I just realized here.
Okay.
So the letters is just like we love these letters,
mm-hmm.
but then there's one where apparently you could just send in questions to this guy, this mm-hmm. Michael Hara fellow, and it's called Pinformation, and it's literally just like, what's Shawn Michaels' real name? Whatever happened to Papa Shango? And it's just basically like the exact knowledge you're
Papa Shango is now wrestling as Kama.
But here's the thing. In 1995, I didn't have this information.
That's true.
This would have, if I was not an observer, a wrestling observer or like a dirt sheet reader, this would have blew my mind.
Yeah.
I would have been like, I can't believe that Miss Texas originally wrestled as Sweet Georgia Brown. No, actually, I think I knew that.
So do you see what he's wearing?
He's wearing the Ribera. Yeah, this is Fit Finley.
Yeah, the Ribera Steakhouse jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I also like this guy in this picture here, this Mark fellow here who looks like, I'm going to describe him as the a young Paulie Dangerously, but if he was in Pearl Jam.
Oh.
So
it's a good way to describe him.
On that, I think we're done with this magazine. That's it for pro.
New Wave Wrestling.
New Wave Wrestling number 9. It's numbered, so number 19 from what is it?
November 1995. New and improved format. The best just got better.
It sure did.
R.I.P. Bam Bam Bigelow.
R.I.P. Bam Bam Bigelow. R.I.P. Ultimate Warrior.
Ultimate Warrior. R.I.P. Nancy Benoit.
No. I thought you could say Malaya Hasaka again. No. I was like, stop. Stop putting it on her. It's a lot of pressure.
So, yeah. We're on Twitter. Sweatpants Joe. Angry Hero Sean. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe on iTunes. Rate us 5 stars. We should probably get that out of the way at the beginning of the podcast, because by now you've already listened to it and you don't want to go back if you haven't listened on iTunes. But please do. Please rate us 5 stars on iTunes. It'd help us out a lot. Anything else?
No. Just check out Worst Collection Ever on iTunes as well. My other podcast with my wife,
Rate
Jen.
That one 5 stars as well.
Rate that 5 stars.
We need some more reviews. We're only up to 4.
Yeah, but please review. Please tell a friend. You know, puts us up in the ratings. Puts us over. So
the road to 100 likes on Facebook continues. We're at 80 now.
Are we?
We're at 80.
Well, that's impressive.
And only like 19 of them are my friends. So we've got some legit likes.
I feel like people actually are normal, are real people.
Yeah.
Because we actually have some interactions too.
If you like the podcast Facebook page and you aren't friends with Sean or I, feel free to add us as a friend or comment on the thing. Hey, I'm a legit listener. I love you guys.
I'm a real boy.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye.